What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Fivefold, Ryan and Matt. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Doing awesome, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, it's been really cool to I've recently discovered your guys' band. It's been really cool to listen, catch up on everything. I love it. I'll just say that up front. And I had Hang Your Hate on. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah, we played a bunch of shows with them.
Cool, because I think that's somehow how I clicked their profile, and then I somehow found you guys through that.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah, they're good cats.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess before we get into anything crazy, I guess I just want to know what you guys are up to. Busy playing shows, recording. What are you guys up to right now?
Definitely playing a lot of shows this year. We've definitely been dabbling with new material. We don't have anything super definitive yet, like a album plan or anything, but we're writing for sure, getting creative. And, when a song is ready, we'll release it. We've kind of been playing that game, you know, but yeah, playing a lot of shows, man. We made it a goal over the last couple of years. We wanted to try to get outside of our hometown a lot more. When we were younger, we tried to do it, and we had a lot of challenges we were facing when we were younger that didn't allow for it to be easy to do. Not that it's ever easy, but we're at this like really solid point now where we got the right crew and everybody's got the right mindset, and we're just trying to book as many shows as we can. We're trying to get everywhere we can, you know. We want to share our music with people, and you know, share our experiences with them.
We've had the opportunity to be a band for like 20 years, so a lot of that time was spent in St. Louis. And of course, you know, it's like I'm looking at this picture right now that we have on Matt's desktop, and it's a bunch of people. This is the one for me. It's that we sold out Del Mar Hall in St. Louis. We knew everyone there. So, you know, we obviously, thanks to social media and you know, and online streaming, we get the chance to affect a lot more people outside of St. Louis. So, you know, we kind of were excited to meet all those people that were always writing us and contacting us and letting us know what our songs meant to them. So we've had this awesome opportunity this year to get out there and meet a lot of these people that have been listening to us for years. You know, we've never had the chance to put face to, you know, online profile, I guess. So it's been really cool. Been a great year.
Right on. And I'm glad you brought up St. Louis, because I've always, like, you have the music scenes everywhere. Some are bigger than others. You have like if you look at country, for instance, you think Nashville, Texas, like the Appalachia stuff like that. But like St. Louis music scene, like I'm very unfamiliar with it. And I'm like, when you guys were coming up, and I believe like 2007 is when you guys started out around then.
Exactly. Yep.
So like around then, and maybe even up to now, cause you guys obviously, you know, like you still play like around your hometown and stuff like to this day, which is awesome. I think, like how has that scene maybe changed, or has it changed at all? How is the community and culture there?
I mean, like, as a whole, St. Louis has got this like amazing music scene. There's a lot of different genres and culture happening here in St. Louis. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, you've got these like avant-garde like jazz scenes, and
you got these underground folk musicians just going down there drinking and playing for hours, like banjo and fiddle. Yeah, we have so many different scenes, you know, here, and it's interesting.
For sure. But it's really cool. It's definitely cool. St. Louis is a lively place for music. I would say that our experience with the original rock scene, it's a little bit different these days than it was when we were coming up. But, you know, I mean, like, that's perspective. You know, we grew up with bands that were around our age that were off to kind of prove themselves too. So it was like a really fun time. There was a lot of good young bands at that time, and there still are, you know.
Yeah.
It's just different now, and we're older, so it's different for us now. We're kind of grinding on a different circuit than we were back then. You know, when we were younger, when we were starting off in 2007, you know, we were 16, 17, 18 years old, you know, average in the band. And so it was just a little bit different back then. You know, we were hustling to try to meet people to get out there and people know who Fivefold is. And, you know, these days we've been around St. Louis long enough that, not that we don't have to do that, we've been around long enough that, you know, we have some people that will just come out to the shows no matter what. So, you know, it's just a little bit different for us, I'd say, but it's still really great, man. St. Louis is a wonderful place to come and just listen to a lot of great music.
The cool thing about St. Louis is like, like the big reason the city was even like made is because it was at the crossing of rivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that brought us a lot of different like cultures and, you know, and people. And the same that goes for our food, and also most definitely goes for our music scene. You know, I kind of went off on this little escapade years ago, just my solo music and everything. And I met a lot of like amazing folk musicians that I've never heard, like country musicians, like, you know, that are just grinding, you know, that I never knew about because I was in the rock scene. And I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yes, they're on circuit, man.
Yeah. Like Nick Gussman over here, Hunter Peebles, you know, they're some of the best, and they're just hanging out in St. Louis over here. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I feel like whenever you think of like a scene of any kind of city, like some are bigger than others. And by bigger, I mean like more well-known than others, of course, but like the community aspect, like when you really like hang around any music scene and like the culture in it and like the sense of like connection with all these different artists is like, truly, it's crazy to see one, like from an outsider point of view. Like I went out to, like I was in Texas, Oklahoma for a while, and I'm like, wow, all these dudes know each other, dudes and gals, of course, know each other. And like there has to be a point to where like the competition kicks in. And I've always heard it's healthy competition, of course, like when you have such a close knit community like that.
Sure.
So I guess in your guys' experience, has it always been pretty even keel, like a nice even tone of camaraderie and competition?
That's an interesting question. Like, there was the point, the radio station in St. Louis, the rock one, they had a battle for Point Fest. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was like, cool. Like, basically, you know, you play these battles, you have judges, you know, boosting you up or not. If you won, you got to play side stage at Point Fest, right? Mm-hmm. And that was really, really, that was awesome. But it also, I think, in some ways, at some points, that, you know what I mean? There was like, oh, we should have won.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's where, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, but that's like,
you know.
That's like a literal competition, though. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, definitely when we were younger, again, when everybody was more active in the scene and everybody was kind of up and coming and doing things, because we've been doing it for a long time, man, you know, so like some of that stuff has changed over the years.
But and I think
when we were younger, there was definitely good amount of competition, but it was always angry at each other.
Yeah.
It was always like, I feel like the best way to describe is we find like, oh, we're booking time in the studio, and then we're like, oh, you're this band's also booking time in the studio. It's like
they got some cool everybody's after
it. It was a really cool time though, because I think that it just pushed us all to succeed further, you know, because we had enough like minded people in the area just shooting for the same thing, you know. And I wouldn't say that doesn't exist currently. I think that, you know, what's happening now, you know, because we are older. There's a new scene happening now, a new group of kids that are out there now that we got to go out and we got to find them, you know? So
they're not going to find us because I'm going to be in my comfy shorts playing video games.
Right on. And like, it's obviously, since you guys like were, you guys formed like back in 07 to now, like when, like, that's when, like, the music industry has changed for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, streaming, like, took over. Like, I'm old enough to be like, you know, I bought CDs. I went to FYE and the mall and grabbed used CDs and new CDs. You know, streaming just took the world by storm, and then social media followed. Now you have the TikToks and all that stuff. And this is one of my favorite questions to ask bands who have lived through that and, like, operated through it is, was it easy to evolve through that change, like for you guys personally, or how did you navigate that?
It
changed everything for us, man. I mean, I wouldn't claim that we're a big band or we're somebody to look up to. We've done some things. We've been around for a long time. People like certain songs. We've got some fans. We have a lot of fun. But yeah, man, I mean,
I think for me, like it, you know, I totally get, like, you know, how it's kind of taken away. Because I was that same kid. I got a bicycle, and I was like, and I rode my bike down to Kmart. Remember Kmart?
Oh yeah.
And I would go and get their CDs. I was raised on mostly Christian music and country, right? So I would go and get these CDs and I would read every lyric. I'd just sit there on my stomach on my bed, listen to the album, just reading every lyric as, and that's something that this the world has moved on from, I think, in some ways. And that definitely sucks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we miss some of those little things.
But it also, sure. This, like, you know, streaming and social media and all these things, like, it's allowed people overseas to know our music and to be moved by it. So I would, you know, I think we'd be fools to say that it hasn't helped us.
Yeah, man.
You know,
I mean, without YouTube and without Spotify, we wouldn't have the numbers to support us to be able to record more music and play these shows in the town.
A lot of it was happening when, like, people were using, like, Lost Within, like our song, our top Spotify stream from forever ago,
2012.
but they were using it on their, like, anime videos, you know, and stuff like that. And that's when we were like, well, people are still going, you know, because we went through a little hiatus for a little bit. And, you know, that helped us.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, what I mean? It was a huge push for us.
Yeah,
we took a little break, and in that break, we saw that there was still growth happening online because our music was out there to live forever.
Yeah.
We weren't like, hey, we're not a band anymore, so we're pulling all our music back.
It just kept living there forever.
It kept growing. And we got to see that, and it was massively inspiring for us to come back to it. And, you know, as a band, none of us abandoned music during that time. No. We just weren't a band, you know. We were just in other groups doing other stuff, and then we
couldn't stay away from it.
So, like, to answer the question, man, I mean, like, as tough as it's been to kind of, like, adapt to the changes over time, it's been massively beneficial for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually really interesting because, like, most people I ask that question to, like, they're automatically, they hear the word TikTok or social media, and they're automatically like, ah, I fucking hate it. And, like, it's like, no one looks at the other side. It's like, well, it also gives your music, you know, the longevity like that.
Yeah.
People are able to go back and like, that's how I discovered you guys. I mean, without Spotify. Like,
yeah,
so sure. That's a very cool, like, very positive way to look at it too.
Well, like, I don't do social media near it. I guess at least as much as I used
we're not
to.
We're not experts.
No, no. Yeah, we couldn't even figure out how to make a laptop work. But you know, but it does, like, it, you know, it benefits, and it's just another tool that every artist should be using to, you know, get their stuff out. You know, and we'd be crazy to not utilize it.
And the really cool
thanks, Shago.
I think the really cool thing
we have a guy named Shaga that does it all.
Is that at this point in time, any artist anywhere has the ability to write and release something, and, you know, without massive restrictions or a huge budget, you know, I mean, we're talking before the time of streaming, you know, even when we were still kind of in that digital era, printing everything to CDs, you know, it was still difficult. You still had to have this massive budget to go book time in a studio. And I'm not saying don't do those things. It's worth doing those things for a great product, 100%. But the beautiful thing is, for somebody who's learning who they are as an artist, they have this ability to just take it and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that is truly magical and the world needs it, they're going to find it because it's out there, you know?
That's beautiful, buddy. So. That was really well said.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, and I saw that that vlog thing you guys did, I believe.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I'm like, that's what these people need, these bands need to do. It's like, I know it's a lot of stuff to do. Like, a lot of artists don't have, like, a lot of them just don't want to do that kind of stuff. But I mean, that is, like, that's the way it is today, and that's what connects fans with the groups.
If you don't want to do it for, like, other people, at least just do it for yourself.
Well, you know.
Yeah. You know, like, because you're not, like, the thing, I watched it a whole time and watched it again with my wife, Brittany, when she got home. You know, because you don't, like, it, you know, you can relive it. Like, you're not, like, you're not watching a camera of your life while you're loading in a bunch of guitars. Yeah. So, you know, you and one person are loading this stuff, and then Matt's got all the guitars on his back, just straight up following the laws of the land. Like, you know, it's just funny, and it's good, you know. If you don't want to do it for people, just do it for yourself.
You know, and
it's fun to look back at it.
Also, sometimes you just got to have a Shago. That's what we've got.
Second Shago.
Shago is who you've been talking to up until this podcast. So,
oh, right on.
He's got a heart of gold. He's a true Missourian.
An amazing dude. He's a part of our band, but doesn't play music.
He plays our hearts. He keeps us in line.
That's what he
does. But you know, like, we're very fortunate to have somebody like him in our camp because it allows us to be able to do what we do and be able to make videos like that.
You know what? Shago wasn't able to make it tonight, so let's actually stop talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask us more questions.
For sure. Well, let's talk a bit, moving away from the changes in the industry. I'd like to talk about the changes, and by that I mean, like, you know, like progressions and just evolving with you guys throughout the years. And that's always my favorite thing to talk about with bands who've been around a while. And like, I think when I look at a band's music, when they're willing to try different things and don't stick to a certain formula and like to experiment around, like, I think that's what separates, like, the guys without the juice and the guys with the juice, like quite honestly, like the guys who really have it. And I mean, unless you go like AC/DC, their formula has worked for years. Yeah. But yeah,
like, that's that's what we
need to do. They're on lockdown, dude.
Oh, yeah. But I guess, like, looking back to now, from then to now, from whatever point, can you pinpoint, like, any time you wanted to take, like, a risk, whether it's in the studio or songwriting, just creatively, like, any kind of risk or a next step, like, to where you're like, I don't know if we should do that or something like that, and, like, how you kind of overcame it to really push to, like, something different? If that made any sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go back to one of the earlier memories, I would say in a professional environment, I would say off our first EP,
yeah.
Nothing More to Say. It, you know, we would hit this spot on that song that was, you know, I mean, it was like more of the anthematic song of the EP. Like, a lot of them were alt rock and kind of mid-tempo, and this was a little bit more upbeat, anthematic, and it had a lot of energy. And we were like, Ryan, you really need to scream. And he had never done it before. You know,
I didn't want to scream.
And also, dude, this was like in 2010, you know, we were really young and that wasn't his experience at the time. So we kind of pushed him to do it. But in that moment, I feel like you discovered this whole other power and potential.
I realized I could be the peak. I'm a very tiny little nice person. I can sound really big.
yeah,
but I would even say, like, you know, like on our trip, our latest trip to St. Paul, Minnesota, stop Shago.
Speaking of Shago,
but we were listening to like one of our first recorded demos, like on a CD, because our van has a CD player, and some of the songs, exactly. Like they weren't, you know, they weren't good, but they, like, you could hear young us experimenting with different, like, flavors and styles. And, you know, because the reason we're called Fivefold, you know, I don't know if we ever talked about it anymore, but it's because there's five individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And we you know, it's like we all listen to different things. We all listen to, you know, are inspired by different you know, tools and vessels. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even in those early days, we were kind of experimenting with different things. Definitely, like, Lost Within, you know, kind of blew up and continues to build, and that's awesome. And I think that was through a time of sorrow, you know, and mm-hmm. just, you know, kind of like, you know, hurt, and that's good. And I think that carries, yep. But, you know, Darker Side of Me Too, that was huge. That was our first, like, heavy song.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
and I think even in some of our new material, you know, there's just a lot of different variety, and I think it's because we've always kept it as, like, our compass that we should be trying to experiment. You know, we don't want to, we're not trying to write
the same song
over again. Like, Lost Within, if that was the way, then we should just write Lost Within over and over again and be the saddest band you've ever heard. Yeah. But, you know, we always experiment, you know. And that even rock with
me. I mean, it's definitely been a massive part of our evolutions. I think at times we've done less of it than we do now. And it was just different when we were younger. You know, we would just practice in a warehouse, and that's where we would write our songs. Mm-hmm. And when the song was written, we would go to the studio. And when we went to the studio, we would record what we wrote.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we started.
But now you record.
And over time, we were able to kind of introduce ourselves to a creative environment where we could actually start to experiment more with the songs. And I remember when we did Hold On, the EP.
Oh, dude.
We didn't have a name for the EP at the time because the song Hold On wasn't even on it yet. We had all the other songs written, and in the studio, it was like about 3 o'clock.
It was
extremely late.
3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sleeping on the couch in, like, the main area, and I hear Benny over there, were you in electric?
Yeah, I was playing a Les Paul.
On a Les Paul, straight up playing this, like, this beautiful, like, you know,
just a riff, little lick, man.
A little lick, right? Mm-hmm. And I jumped up, and I think did we write it?
We wrote some stuff that day, and then we finished writing it after the fact, and then we ended up going back and recording that song, and it ended up being the title of the EP.
Yeah.
But throughout the process of recording that song, what was really cool about it is we went into it with just a guitar part and just a vocal. And we decided in the studio for the first time ever what we were going to do with the rest of the song, mm-hmm. what we were going to do with the total arrangement and all the accompaniment. Were we going to have drums at, where we're going to have production at, where we're going to have all those pieces, because we went into it with kind of this empty slate. We had a song written, we had a chord progression, we had a vocal, and that was kind of like a big turning point, I think, for us. As far as how to be experimental, we were mm-hmm. Basically opened Pandora's box, you know, on that song. Mm-hmm. And then we got to kind of continue down that path when we released Open Letter, because the producer we did Hold On with, he ended up joining our band, and we kind of were able to all do the whole album together.
Yeah. Well, I also think another answer, a shorter answer, is me and Matt have ADHD. And I think maybe that might also be a huge factor in
the fact
that we just can't. I never just want to be like a heavy band. And, you know, it's like on the side, not even on the side. I just can't stop writing songs. Mm-hmm. And Matt too. Mm-hmm. And so we're just always writing, and we're always listening to new music, and we're always being blown away by new art. And so I think that if you're an artist and you are, you know, you've already said, hey, I'm going to follow you forever, you have to evolve.
Yeah. You know?
And not for what's trendy or what's popular, for what, you know, you got to keep writing the song, writing a song that moved you like the last song that moved you did.
Yeah, for sure.
Does that make sense?
The other fun part for me is that I play a lot of instruments, so I mm-hmm. get to like kind of, you know, sit down with different things and come up with different ideas that you wouldn't necessarily mm-hmm. get if I just only played guitar, you know?
What's that tiny little guitar sound in that track?
But yeah, it's fun, you know, to pick up a mandolin or a banjo or sit behind a piano or even sometimes a bass. We just, you know, a couple weeks ago, decided to get together and do a little songwriting session, and I felt a little unprepared, and so like the night before, I'm like sitting down, and I come up with this bass lick, and then the next day, and I'm like, well, I got this bass lick. Well, Ryan wrote a song, and he had played it, I think, in a different key.
I literally got to practice so excited to show them the song idea that I wrote in my sleep. Like I was falling asleep, and like, you know, I was like, okay, it's happening. I just wrote it out, and I got to practice the next morning because I'm like. And also there's this thing that happens between us a lot is where he writes the song the day before, or like, you know, sometimes when we're on that wavelength.
It just somehow comes together perfectly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I got here. He had this bass part in it. And I sang it over. I was like, well,
there it is.
The song's done.
There it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, it's weird how that works out, you know? Yeah. So I wrote a bass part, and I showed Danny, our bass player, and he was playing around with it, kind of making it his own. And, mm-hmm. and like literally within 20 minutes, we had a whole song kind of fleshed out, you know, all these little parts. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's not fully polished, produced song, but it's pretty
cool. It's not a turn.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, it, yeah. And it always blows my mind whenever I hear like how natural it is for this kind of stuff to happen, like with artists, like as a fan, you know, and I'm watching, it's like, not only just with like that and like crafting like a song and like how it just happens like that, but how we were talking about being able to evolve into something else and want to try new things. It's like, it's hard to I always thought like, an artist has to be like, all right, I'm going to try this and I'm going to keep trying it until I get it. And like, until I really do it, which I'm sure is true in some ways, but it seems
that's the first part of the journey.
Any mm-hmm. like anyone that's good at their field, like it is like try. But hopefully with enough years of doing that, you know, you can get kind of, I think that's it. It's not magic or anything. It's just doing something long enough. We've been writing songs together, mm-hmm. you know, for 20 years, you know, so it's of course, you know, I hope it's easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, I think the reason it's easy for us and for some people is just because, you know, you've written enough songs, you've listened to enough material, you kind of have an idea of where things need to go without even having to technically think about what is happening. You're not thinking about what scale you're performing. You're not thinking about how far away, you know, the
you're
distance
thinking
is
about
between
what
your,
sounds,
and your high note. You're just, you
sounds cool.
You're kind of just following what your instincts guide you to do. And those moments are built on what you're talking about. Try. You know, you write 50, 100 songs over the course of the first 10 years of your life, and then you're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, I'm not saying that we're really good. I'm just saying we feel comfortable and, you know, our fans like our music and it's easy
like
for, and it's easy for us. But you know, you get there by putting those hours in, man, just like, literally, like you said, you try. And then there comes that day where it's kind of like, what am I feeling? What are you saying? And how does that inspire me? And how can I respond to that in the form of another instrument and another, you know, counterpart to it, you know, something that really makes it better.
It's a lot of yes and.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I love that idea. What if we added this? What if, you know, it was like this? Like,
it's playing around.
Very rarely anymore do we ever say no. You know,
right.
You know, it's very much, it's, you know, like I, like they all know, you know, when we're like writing a thing and, you know, it's just the music at this point, and I'll be on my phone talking and everything, and like there's a moment when I just zap out. I'm just not there. I'm walking around, I'm sitting on like on this chair, just on my knees, you know, being weird and stuff. And you know, you build this other language. You're like, oh, Chaney, like Ryan's in the zone right now. He's writing some stuff.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't this last one, it was the one before, it might have been the last one, but I was writing this bridge idea. You know, and they were just playing it. And I was like, what do you guys think about this? And we played it. And then Benny's like, yeah, so the chorus. Like,
yeah, I just moved on to the next part.
He moved on to the next part. And Shago looked at me and he's like, does that mean yes? I'm like, yeah. It just. We don't have formalities here.
Check
if
back,
it was moved on, we're good. We can move on.
Hell yeah. And like, so when you guys, how do you know when the song is complete? When you guys, like, do you get a feeling like, all right, we're done, this is perfect? Like, how does that kind of come about? Because as creatives, I would imagine to be kind of hard to stop. Like, you know, like you want to keep adding and adding, but like, do you get like a certain feeling or like how do you know?
It's definitely a feeling thing, but I would say this is two different things when we're talking about the song and when we're talking about a produced song. Because when you go to a fully produced, fully mixed and mastered song that's got nuances and production value, I think that that's a whole separate thing where we can dive into when is enough is enough. But I think for us, when it comes to the song itself, we know it's good for us when we play it all the way through and everybody's parts jive, you know, and maybe the only things we're missing are some harmonies and some extra little things that enhance the movement of what's already happening.
Yeah, so
we just look for if everybody's just playing off each other just right and we can catch a feeling and the timing and stuff just locks in. Then we're like, we got a song, you know.
When your hairs are like standing up, you know, and you're like, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's like, there's that, you know what they always say, like, leave room for God.
You know, for sure.
Like that feeling. You're like, okay. Cool, yeah. That's crazy. We've kind of been teleported for like an hour, you know, we're not really sure what happened in that span of time, but
here
we are. And this sounds like a great song, you know, and we enjoy playing it and performing it. And, you know, that's it. You know, I think people like it.
For sure, man. It's all about having an emotional experience with the song. No matter, you know, there's lots of different ways you can mix a song to get the sound atmospheric in different ways. But it's all about, I think, when you sit back and you listen to it and you feel the song and you're not really listening to the little pieces in the performance, you're encapsulated by the song.
Yes.
You know, it just moves you. That's really the goal. And that means different things for different songs, you know? So if I'm sitting back and I'm listening to something and I'm working on some little post-production stuff, I'm adding maybe a little synth part or, you know, a percussion loop or something, you know, all I'm doing is I'm listening to it and I'm just...
Does this sound like Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls? Or not?
sure, that's
the gold standard.
But it's like once you know the feeling of the song and you know whether it's a ballad or it's just a straight metalcore banger, you have to, you just listen to the song and ask yourself, yeah, is the energy been met?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you met the energy that this song needs? Yeah. And sometimes less is more, and sometimes more is more. You yeah. know, I like if you go back to our most recent album, Fill in the Blank, there's a couple songs on there that are heavy songs that have the least production, the yeah. least, you know, it's just guitars and bass and drums and vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other songs that we have all these little features in, you know, like Lost a Friend is one.
Lost a Friend.
Has we've got bunch. All these little synth, you know, pads and trap beats and lots of little guitar parts that are tucked in here and there, and it's produced more like a pop song in that yeah. regard. But I think the goal is to listen to the song and ask yourself, what does the song need? Yeah. And okay. that's what we do. And that's how we evolve. I feel like to kind of double back on what we were talking about earlier is we just look at what the song needs. Yeah. And if we feel like the song needs something different, we're going to give it something different. If we feel like it doesn't need any more, we're going to leave it right there where it's at because we feel like it delivers
mm-hmm.
as best as it can for what that song is meant to be interpreted as, if that makes yeah. any sense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
for us anyway, as artists and us being the ones in control of how we're painting the picture, you know, everybody will have a different interpretation. That's why there's always remixes out there and people going out and doing covers and stuff. And that's great. But for us, it's a feeling thing. We just listen to the song and we ask ourselves, have we met the energy level? Have we
yeah.
met the emotional level? Does it feel good?
Does it, okay. and does it say everything it needs to say?
Yeah, sure. You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's interesting, man. Like it just seems like you have to be in such like a crazy mind space creatively to like really dial into that. I can't relate to it, but like, it's really cool to hear that kind of thing. And going off that, and I just thought of this while you were explaining that to me, do you ever, when you're writing a song, do you ever, bear with me, hope this makes sense. Do you ever like look at it like, how is this going to sound live? And does that ever like, dictate what you do in the studio, if that makes sense, like you base it on what it might sound like?
Sometimes mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I write most of my songs just like by myself on acoustic guitar, and mm-hmm. I say my songs as like some of those, you know, have you know gone into Fivefold, you know, some of them I put out, right? But
yeah,
but that's like where I'm starting from is live, you know. Mm. But then there are also other times it's, you know, I wouldn't say how the song in the end is going to come across live. And that sometimes like bit us in the butt, you know, we're like, okay, we need to, you know what I mean? We have mm-hmm. to draw extra because, you know, you can go too heavy on production, mm-hmm. you know? But I think in truth, if the song sounds great on an acoustic guitar or a mandolin and vocals, right. Yeah. Then if it does everything it can ever do right there at that moment, then put it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but in the other way, it's like, yeah, you do have to be considerate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think at the end of the day, what makes a song really, really great, no matter what, no matter how much production you throw at it, is if you can like, and it may be hard to imagine on certain songs, but if you can strip it back to the basic parts of it, the essential features, we're talking about the top line, the vocal hook on a top 40 song, the top line, and we'll talk about the chord progression or the root notes. If those things are good on their own, it doesn't really matter what else you throw at it. You could try lots of different things. I'm saying it doesn't matter. I mean, of course it does. Like I said, you pay attention to the song, what the song wants, but what I'm getting at is if the song, like Ryan's saying, is good at a core level,
yeah,
then you know, you're golden.
Yeah.
But we do try to consider that stuff a little bit. And the fun part about where we're at now in 2025 is with our whole rig that we've built and we've been dialing in over these few years, it's not really a limitation for us anymore, mm-hmm. you know, because we can incorporate any idea that we have into a show that we yeah. have into a studio session. And I personally don't feel too guilty about it if we had to play some tracks because we wrote those parts.
Well, we wrote the parts. We were also performing everything.
I also don't have 8 arms, you know?
Right.
If I did, I'd just play them, man.
I wouldn't want to be in a band with you if you had 8 arms.
We wouldn't need me.
That'd be a whole other problem.
Yeah. You'd build another head, and then that head could sing.
I'd imagine if I had 8 arms, my life in general would just be totally different.
Yeah. You have to get a new car.
I probably wouldn't be here right now. I don't know where I'd be. I don't know. Who knows?
Probably in a, yeah, I don't know.
Probably in a circus.
That'd be crazy. I don't know. But, there's so many questions that we would dive into.
But yeah, but like with the tracks thing, that's like the most annoying like thing nowadays that people talk about. Like they hear, oh, we're using tracks, and they're like, oh, they're lip syncing. Like that's usually like the that kind of bullshit, and it just like that's what we're using the technology. Like, yeah, go ahead.
And it's completely understandable. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, because like, I mean, this goes way back to the earlier part of our conversation. Like, how has everything changed? Yeah, mm-hmm. We were like, I was raised by like my uncle that taught me how to like play guitar and everything. He's a Pantera, you know what I mean? This is all grunge, baby, you know, just straight up metal, you know, that's where I was raised. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The band puts on a freaking rock show, you know, like you don't use tracks, you do everything, you leave everything up there, you know? And so that was even a recreation for me and me as an artist, but, you know, and it's rightfully so that people would like, you know, at first like snub their, but just like, you know, I don't know, Falling in Reverse, you know, went to go see him.
That's and he's exactly like, what I was thinking.
On stage, he's like, I'm singing every word. I'm doing all this. And he did.
Yeah,
I'm a vocal. I've been a vocalist for 20 years. I can tell if someone's not singing the part, like all the hard parts and all these songs that, you know, Ronnie was doing. He was doing them. I could hear the throat, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. So whatever. If you use all the things that can benefit your art to make it, if the audience is lost because you used it, then you lost and you shouldn't do it, mm-hmm. you know, but if the audience is like dragged is like pulled further in, and if it's more of a show and a better rock show or whatever, like use everything at your disposal.
The fact is almost everybody plays with tracks,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit of a tarnish on it because of things like back in the day with Milli Vanilli and artists like that, you know, mm-hmm. the fake performances.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going out there and you got backing tracks, it's string arrangements, synth parts, and you know, background vocals, like I don't have any problem with that. Nobody does. That's totally cool. That's what we do. It's the stuff you can't play. You still go out there and play your show. Now, if you're a band, you go out there and you're not even playing your parts. That's a different story.
Yeah.
You know, that's a moment where, you know, it gets a little questionable, but there's nothing wrong with tracks, man. I mean, half of our set, I feel like it's got tracks these days.
It does.
And then we still like rip the other half just the same. And I'll tell you, like we've got dialed in mixes in our in-ears and they still sound good without the tracks. So
yeah.
I feel mm-hmm. pretty confident.
Truth. Well, yeah,
for
and
sure.
It's also like, you know, it's like if I have like a backup harmony, you know, just for me in my ears, like even if it was not put out to the fans, if they couldn't hear it, I will perform better. You know what I mean? Because I'm feeling like I, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the mm-hmm. flow. That backing track's got me, you know?
Yeah.
And in that way, I don't feel like I have to carry all the vocals by myself, you know? So in my vein, like the main line and what I'm singing, which is always the highest part, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. Thank you. Thank you, Matt, Benny, and Ryan for making that so. But yeah, it adds so much value, you know, and just having a click track, I'm a talker. I don't know if you could tell, but
it's great.
It's having like a click track on stage and everything. It's like, you hear the countdown. You're like, all right, I got to wind it down.
Yeah.
Makes for a better show altogether.
Yeah, for sure. I think for us, we've always wanted to put on an honest performance. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we still do that with the tracks because, you know, the tracks are just there for nuance. They're there for the ambiance, man. You know, we got a couple of songs that like we could play without the tracks, but I tell you what, if I wasn't listening to them, I would vibe way less hard, you know, like they're not even like big parts. They're just these little background things. You almost don't even know are there, you know, but we've got a couple of them that are a little bit more up front, you know, but you know, that's just in the nature of it.
But if you wanted us to put on our whole set with acoustic guitars and a djembe, we could do it.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, yeah, exactly. We just like to have fun with it, you know, but the fun part is, with the tracks is when we get to the studios, we can do whatever our hearts desire and take the song to wherever we feel it needs to go without the limitation of how we're going to do it to answer the question that we were talking about. We don't have to worry about that stuff. You know, it's just, it's not really a thing, you know, we can, it's easy, honestly. I mean, every time since we've kind of fallen into it, we've played a new song, we go and do it and we're like, yeah, that was just like the recording, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, great, man.
For sure. And before we move on from tracks, you mentioned Falling in Reverse, and that's exactly who I was thinking of. I remember, like, maybe it was like last year, and it was Eddie Trunk. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Eddie Trunk at all. He's like this self-proclaimed, I'm going to talk a little shit here. Not like he's going to listen to this or anything, but he's like a self-proclaimed, like, know-it-all with metal and everything. He's on like Sirius XM and all that. Mm-hmm. And I remember Ronnie said that he lost his, it was his like laptops or something, gear for the tracks.
Yeah.
And Eddie Trunk was like, oh, see, this guy can't cut it. He's relying on tracks. It's like, he's not relying on tracks. He's like, he could still do it. It's just like, you're so out of touch. It's like, what are you thinking?
And that dude has like dedicated his entire life to being able to perform these songs. You know, he straight up, like, some of those things, I was like, I don't know how you did that. Now, I will say he wasn't running around, jumping around, being all crazy.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know.
I mean, like, I can get, like, when your track rig goes
down.
Hold on,
I think this is, I want to make sure this is charging. All right, we're good.
Yeah, I can get when your track rig goes down. It can be really stressful, man. I mean, one thing I've learned since we've done this is that when you're playing the tracks, you have to have a whole session file set up with all of your things to a grid. So everything's done on time, right? It's just a formulaic set, and I know that might sound lame to a listener, but the benefit of it is it allows the artist to get more in flow state and just put on a performance.
True.
So it can be interrupting, but I think that's no different than coming out to a show and your front of house console that pushes all the sound to the PA doesn't work, and you guys, what do I do? And then you can't just be like, oh, the sound guy doesn't know how to do sound. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not, you know, we're in 2025. We talked about how music has evolved and how the industry has evolved and how streaming has evolved. Well, so have genres. Genres evolved. And pop music, especially, I think, from especially the early 2000s and on, have massively influenced all of these other genres as far as the type of production quality we need to have to keep people's attention.
100%.
And so you can't just, you know, like, if you do anything less than that, it's almost all been done before.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer. So it's like, if you want to be different, you need to have the ability to catalog more sounds and display more ability on stage. And if you don't do it with tracks, you're going to have a 20-person band every night. Yeah. And have a 20-person band every night is extremely expensive for everybody. It's a lot of microphones. It's going to be way harder to do. Like, it's a lot for everybody. It's harder for the sound guy. It's harder for everybody, dude. So you got to roll with the times, baby.
Yeah,
you know,
you're exactly right.
That, you know, the guys are still writing it. Somebody's still in the studio writing the parts. It's not like they didn't write it. It's not like they just, you know, some people do. They do take it from other stuff, but a lot of stuff we're talking about, Falling in Reverse, is still original music, man. Mm-hmm. You know, our stuff's original music. All the tracks in our songs are stuff we wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100%.
You get fivefold.
We get some fivefold. A little dose of fivefold.
Hell yeah. I think that's the theme for the episode, is roll with the time, baby. Because that's just the key to it all. And And guys, thanks a lot for hopping on. This was a blast. Learned a lot too. I'm always glad when I learn some new shit too. So thanks for that. But before we head out though, I know we kind of hit on it right when we first started, but what do you guys have coming up, whether it's music or touring, anything like that? The floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I alluded earlier, we're writing new stuff. We have some things in the back burner that we're working on, some reimagined stuff. We're just waiting for the right time for that, but still the focal point right now is a lot of shows. All the creative stuff is happening in the background. When it's ready, it's going to be ready.
It's the most exciting time.
We're definitely writing a lot, but we're playing quite a bit. We're going to be doing a big headliner in St. Louis closer to the end of the year, November. We'll be announcing that soon. It would be awesome. I mean, if you want to make it out to St. Louis, man, we'll figure out a way to take care of you, man. It would be really cool for you to make it. Not too far of a drive.
Yeah,
we're looking to throw a big, big party and just have a
really LED good time. Lights.
Yeah, we're just trying to
hot dogs.
I don't know about that.
LED lights, most definitely.
Maybe we'll have a hot dog launcher out there.
That would be even more. Genius. Everybody gets dogs.
But yeah, dude, I mean, just know no matter what, your boys in Fivefold are always working and always scheming, you know. So we're working on a lot of cool stuff. It's just, we're just timing some things out right now, but definitely be on the lookout. We're working on some new stuff, writing new material, playing more shows.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be updating our website, all our social media. So
Shago will.
Yeah, Shago will. He's part of the we.
Yeah, he's, you know? He's a
we. Yep. Yeah, hell yeah. Well, guys, that's exciting. That's exciting. And also, and where people could find you, socials, website, where could people find you at?
Well, if you walk outside your house, you look 45 degrees to the east, and you shout, Fivefold! Fivefoldband.com. You can find everything on there, but we're pretty much everywhere. Any on social media.
We're everywhere, Fivefold, actually.
If you want to find us and you don't want to go through a long list of all of our individual URLs, just go to fivefoldband.com. You could find anything from there.
Also, Instagram. Check out the new single. Our friend KG Lillian just put out a new single, and we helped her write this song.
Yeah.
It's a banger. It's the song of the summer. Oh, yeah. Some must say, and some might say. So check that out. Edge of Town by KG and Lillian.
Featuring Fivefold.
Featuring Fivefold. We came in there like spider monkeys.
Yeah.
You know, and added value.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell Thank you so much for your time, bro.
Yeah, of course. You guys, everyone listening, make sure to definitely check them out. Like, it's so worth it. It was a very pleasant surprise when I found these guys. And also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything, so Google us and you'll find us. So Ryan, Matt, thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Make a mess of this simple